morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning. It must be Monday, and it must be time for Democratic Perspective one more time. We are here this morning, and we have Tom O'Halloran in the studio. Steve Williamson is still on sabbatical. I'm Mike Cosentino. We're going to talk about the national monument status for Sedona this morning. You may, if you've been around Sedona for a while, you probably remember things about National Scenic Area a while back. Part of the thing is, how do we protect, how do you keep Sedona beautiful? How do you, and certainly there's an organization by that name. And, but how do we retain this? Is there anything we can do? It's happened to other places that, that have been not maintained in the beautiful ways that the residents found them. Sedona has, certainly has grown. Some of us have been here. I've been here 43 years, and I've seen a lot of changes, but it's still a, great place. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the procedure, how to at least some local folks believe that this, the national monument status, is the way to go. So we're going to talk about how that works. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Mike. How you doing? Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, yes. I'm okay. Let's just get right into it here, Tom. If we go, we're gonna talk about the politics of and the procedure of this method of preservation, of looking at how we keep Sedona the way it is.
Well, the process is fairly simple. We do a grassroots support effort throughout the area to be impacted and affected. We identify the issues to the community, and then we go to, through a process that is pretty well spelled out. You have to go through the Department of Interior and Department of Agriculture, because the Department of Agriculture, the Forest Service, controls the land now. They will control the land afterwards. We won't see any change in management at all. Then it works its way into the White House, and it goes through the White House Environmental Commission. Their attorneys look at it, review it. It'll probably go up and down a few times,
right,
for questions, of course.
Sure.
And then finally it goes to the president for his signature. You know, we've tried two times to get a national scenic area through, yep, Congress. The first time, it went to the floor, but we needed a supermajority, and we got, if we were looking for just a majority, we would have gotten more than 40 votes more than we needed.
Right.
But the problem was that a supermajority, we fell about 21 votes short. And then the next time around, the bill was just held, as most land bills have been held in Congress now and are continuing to be held, because there's a different philosophy in Congress now about preserving lands.
Right. So national monument, national scenic area, whichever one it is, the it's pretty primarily, or at least mostly, directed at land trades.
Well, I know the national scenic area would have protected the land, and same with the national monument. It protects the land, preserves the land for future generations. The difference between the two is one deals with scenic values, has to go through Congress. And then Congress can do a national monument, too, by the way. The other one, the national monument route, it also preserves the land, but it identifies those characteristics in the land that also need to be protected. One of them is, let's say, antiquities. It's the American Antiquities Act of 1906. That allows the president the power to have a proclamation.
I see.
And the antiquities here are some of the most densely populated antiquities in the entire nation. We have 850 known historic sites where antiquities are, and it's estimated by the Forest Service, not by me, that there's up to 6,000 more just in the designated area that we're trying to do, the 160,000 acres, that is now part of Amendment 12.
Yeah, so I have a friend that's working up on, and it's outside the area, but they are finding sites, heavily populated sites, and tons of, especially with their new radar, the Forest Service is using, and the company's contracting with the Forest Service looking for sites. It's amazing the amount of people, the antiquities, the remains of the former civilizations that are around here.
14,000 years.
And that have, exactly, and that have yet to even been found, let alone, forget about, excavated. But, and so, so National Monument for the Sedona area, we're talking about, preserves that. That becomes a factor. We want to talk about, I want you to say, what are the changes? We have what we have now. Most people understand what we have now. And, if I go up Snively Hill, if I'm out in the forest areas, there's a set of rules that governs behavior.
Right.
And there's a set of rules that governs development. What's going to change? The biggest fear is another layer of government.
There's no other layer of government. There's just like today. Right now, today, under the Amendment 12 process, we have 12 separate and distinct management areas within the 160,000 acres.
Yeah, let's make that clear. Amendment 12 was an amendment to the Coconino County Plan.
Right, which prohibited land trades and set up a management program for this area. The Amendment 12 is not a permanent solution to stopping land trades and therefore preservation of the area. What it is a government administrative process.
Yeah.
All you need to do is have the Forest Service say, we want to have a trade. Here's the trade. It goes through a public process. You go through a comment period. You go through environmental impact studies. The end result, though, is the Forest Service makes the decision, and it's very hard to go to an administrative law judge and deal with that. And that's because of two Supreme Court rulings since Amendment 12 came into being, both by the United States Supreme Court, that basically said that all the planning that you see done by the Forest Service is aspirational in nature and so subjective.
Uh-huh.
And you can't hold them to it. And then the other side of that is their plan is timeless. So you can't say to them, well, you said you were going to clean up this area, and you didn't clean it up. Well, we don't have to. There's no set time. Now, I'm not blaming that on our Forest Service. Our Forest Service is so underfunded that I talked to the regional supervisor not too long ago, and he identified that when you take the people in the Forest Service that are non-fire related,
right.
They've lost 30% of their workforce over the last decade or so. You can't take care of these areas without doing that. And Sedona area and the Verde Valley area have some of the most more volunteers than almost every other forest in the country. And even they can't, with that workforce and that level of volunteerism, you can't keep up. And so one of the things a national monument does is place a priority on that location over other locations.
There you go.
The benefit to that is that you can draw down more grant money from outside philanthropic organizations. The Secretary of Agriculture and the Chief of the Forest Service have made it very clear that these areas are a priority. The San Gabriel Mountains, almost as soon as they were announced, brought in $3.5 million in extra money, additional money from outside the Forest Service to that process. It's much easier to say to a philanthropic organization, we want to get $1 million grant as a national monument than a national forest.
Right. That's huge. So that would be the other, as far as I can see, the main reason, or at least since you gave me this information, I feel that this becomes moves way up the list, or at least certainly moves to the top of the list on reasons for national monument, or at least trying for going for national monument status. Clearly, the difference between a presidential signature going through Congress is a simpler political process. So we're talking about no extra layer of government. Whoever runs, manages the land now will manage the land then.
Exactly.
We're talking about private property rights don't change.
Yeah, in fact, to that issue, private property rights are within the Antiquities Act itself.
Uh-huh.
It clearly spells out that private property rights are guaranteed. And then the Supreme Court in 1978 came down with a decision that the rights were, again, guaranteed. And in fact, they said that the federal government has no right to go onto private property. That means it also meant that there was no eminent domain ability of the federal government to force that property to be dealt with, taken away.
Right.
And the county, the city, the state, or whatever jurisdiction governs that property now, mm-hmm. government governs it later.
Right.
Ingress and egress is guaranteed. Utility lines are guaranteed. All these are grandfathered in, and I'll use the San Gabriels again as an example.
Uh-huh.
The San Gabriel watershed, which is part of their monument now, is a tremendous watershed for storage of water.
Mm-hmm.
The mountaintops have a lot of antennas on them. Luckily, we don't.
Right.
But they have a lot of telecommunications antennas. And what they said in the proclamation was that existing rights of way, number one, it will be grandfathered.
Uh-huh.
Number two, you can construct within that right of way just like you do today. You have to follow the rules of the Forest Service no matter what.
Right.
And number three is that you can get new rights of way and build new infrastructure. If they would have to put a new dam up there, they'd have to put a new roadway into that dam. And in the case of the Sedona area, mm-hmm. You can build new roads, but you'd have to go through the same process as you do today. The key issue with the National Monument is that when you're building the road, you have to be able to do it in a way that is in keeping with the intent of the monument.
Right.
And that is protection of antiquities, scenic values, things like that.
But these are rules for road building that have always been around.
They can be, yes. I mean, today, if you're going to go through a site where there's antiquities, right. You have to move them.
Exactly.
And our goal, though, is to also find out if there's 6,000 sites out there that are not inventoried,
right.
We have to start to get these sites inventoried.
Right.
And the other side of the whole issue is the condition of our forest. Our trails are getting loved to death. And our transportation system around town, anybody that lives around here understands that we are getting inundated.
Yeah.
We have to find a way to balance the quality of life of our citizens and the needs of the commercial businesses out there and the tourism industry.
Well, we want to talk about that directly. I want to drill down on this a little further. We want to talk about commercial operations on monument, if and when Sedona becomes and let's talk about what part of Sedona first. Now, let's back up a little. But I don't want to talk about commercial considerations. I want to talk about recreation. Even though you've addressed it, I want to make it really clear what happens to business regarding the National Monument and recreation. But first, where are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about the same lands under Amendment 12, which are basically the Red Cliffs area. And if you go from Sedona to Cottonwood on both sides of the roadway all the way up to Bill Gray Road,
uh-huh.
And then half a House Mountain area as you move over in that direction. And then you go to 179, and there's a corridor down 179 to I-17, a scenic corridor.
Beautiful.
You know, all three of our highways into town are scenic highways.
Yeah.
And so it's not like that you just say, oh, well, it's just another highway. They're recognized scenic highways.
Right.
Unlike Amendment 12, we're going to go across I-17 and take in three important archaeological sites over there. One of them I'll mention, V-Bar-V.
Right.
The other two I won't mention because we don't want to drive people to those locations.
Right.
They're very important sites. And then you have Oak Creek Canyon. And so of the areas that are currently not protected in perpetuity, mm-hmm. There's about 81,000 acres. And then the Sycamore, part of the Sycamore Wilderness, the Secret Mountain Wilderness, and the Munns Wilderness are included, and that's another 78,000 acres or so.
I see.
So and wilderness designation. I'm getting this question all the time.
Yes.
Well, are there going to be gates? Yeah. Because it's a national. No. What's the closing hours? There are no closing hours. There's camping allowed. There's everything allowed that's allowed today.
Yeah.
We're just going to do it in a better way. We're going to do it. It's required within the monument process that there has to be this community approach to taking care of the forest as far as what the residents need, what the Forest Service needs to do, talking to one another on a consistent basis, not just government to government, but people to people,
right.
and making sure that we're doing things in the right, moving in the right direction. Wilderness areas are distinctly different. And we won't lose the wilderness designations for those three areas. We will not. They're a higher level of designation than a monument. We don't qualify for the 80,000 acres for national monument because it's not wilderness. There's roads and there's hiking trails and a tremendous amount of pressure on the land. Wilderness area, you can't even drive a car or a bicycle
right.
into those areas. If you have a fire that you're going to fight in that area, you have to get permission from the local forester, the Forest Service does, to go and fight that fire with power tools and things like that. And so in this area, firefighting will be allowed. Thinning of the forest will be allowed. All those characteristics that you see now will continue to occur. But we will try to bring in more money to deal with this. We will have a higher level of preservation for the land. We will be able to target specific areas that are being abused to a higher level.
Right.
We have a tremendous amount of vandalism and graffiti out there. Graffiti to our rocks and vandalism to our antiquities.
Right.
The trail systems are undergoing such a tremendous amount of pressure. We have some of the most important riparian habitat in the entire state in southwestern United States.
Yep.
We are in the Pacific flyway for bird migration. We are one of the major flyways in the nation for birding.
Yep.
And these riparian habitats, and there's four of them within the proposed monument that are perennial, water runs yearly. And then there's four others. People go by Dry Creek and say, well, there's no water in there, so what?
Yeah.
Well, when there's flow that goes, and under the ground there is water where those trees are rooting. And when all that flood water comes through there, some of it goes and recharges our aquifer. And that's another side benefit to this is protection of our watershed.
All right.
But when you see the Coffee Creek and Dry Creek and a few others, those dry creeks are repairing habitat because there's the type of trees and vegetation that are in those creeks. And Arizona doesn't have very much riparian habitat.
No, we don't. And so dry riparian habitat is fairly common. And the fact that we have wet riparian habitat is pretty exciting. We want to preserve it and maintain it. So it's all about preservation. And it's all about management.
Well, we want to do preservation, but we want to balance it with the realities that, we do have businesses here.
Right.
They have a right to make a living. They have been making a living all along, and we don't want to put businesses out. And if they can do it right, whether we like it or not, Sedona, you can't erase us off a map and say it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And within the next 45 years, the state of Arizona is going to be a state of 12 million people. That's a state estimate.
Right.
Well, most of the people that come here are day trippers from the Phoenix area.
Right.
And so, they're going to be coming whether we like it or not. We're either going to be prepared with a management plan that is going to protect our area and our quality of life, or we're not. And we're either serious about following up on what people have been wanting for 28 years is preservation of these lands, or we're not serious about it. Because there's no other way to deal with it. You either preserve them or you don't preserve them.
Before we talk about the misinformation that's out there, what if somebody likes this idea? You know, they live in, they work in Sedona, they live in Sedona, they get it. They get that it's not going to screw up private enterprise. It's not going to screw up private property rights. How can they now? Is it? Are you here representing something? Somebody? Is this a committee?
Well, KSB initially has been working on trying to get preservation for this area for 28 years. Some other groups. Yesterday, the state chapter of the Sierra Club endorsed the process.
There you go.
We have the Big Park Regional Coordinating Council that has endorsed the process. In the past, three different city councils have endorsed this process through the NSA process, not the monument, but they're very similar. In the past, both counties have endorsed this process. I'm sitting down and talking to people. You know, I'll leave here and go have meetings the rest of the day to talk to people and educate them on what the process is. But many people just hear that word national and they automatically think more government.
Yeah.
Same layer of government, and we're going to be much more involved in the management process, and that's within the proclamation.
Right. In other words, the process, the designation, I should say, allows for more and more impactful public input.
Yes.
Than before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. So let's talk about what kind of misinformation is out there. Other than there is certainly this anti-government feeling that's been sweeping the country for years now. When we talk about smaller government, we talk about all this stuff. But, and so that, as you just alluded to, as soon as you hear anything, for some reason, government related, there is a visceral reaction that's negative. This morning, I like to think we've gotten rid of that, rumor. But I think certainly the realtors, the land people involved in developing land would be seeing things that aren't there.
Well, I don't want to speak against realtors in general.
Yeah.
Because all realtors are not against this. We have a number.
Oh, many are for it. No.
Many are for it.
I've talked to
some. And so that's number one. Just because somebody's a realtor doesn't mean they're against preservation of these beautiful lands. The second thing is that we have a lot of commercial operations, balloon operators, the pink Jeep and the other Jeep tours, concessionaires up in the canyon. The Forest Service has a lot of contracts out there. Those contracts are honored. And they'll go through a process when it's renewal timed to be able to continue. And if somebody wants to come in, they have a new process going. They have guided tours into the forest by larger groups. Well, that if you have a contract before that process, because that's almost the perfect environment, because we have people watching people that are going to, so that antiquity sites and other things are not, but you still want individuals in there. But this is just a new program that they have currently to make sure that larger groups can get in there and with trained professionals to identify the landscape and give them a scenic tour. And so they would be able to continue. A horseback, I mean, it's not, this is about preserving recreation, not taking recreation away.
What about values, property values?
Well, I would think that, it's driven by the availability of land. And if the availability of land is less, property values go up.
All right. You've mentioned the San Gabriel. So I want to, where is this working? Where is this being done? You mentioned the San Gabriels twice. Locate that for us. And is this the most recent one, or is there another?
It's one of the recent ones. There's one in Las Cruces. There's one up by Taos. There's smaller ones right here in the Verde, Montezuma's Castle and Tuzegut.
Right.
But those are very small.
Right.
They do have hours. You know, people get the idea, well, they're national monuments and there's a gate there.
And there's a gate there.
Well, these larger environment national monuments that take in forests don't have gates.
I see.
People ask me about fees. We already have the Red Rock Pass. Our intention is to create an environment where But your question was, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Your question was, where are the San Gabriels? And they're just outside of Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
They have about 3 to 4 million visitors a year, just like us.
Uh-huh.
All the governments in that area got on board because they wanted to protect their watershed. They wanted to protect the recreation area. They understood the importance of that long-term commitment to do that to the long-term ability of their citizens to recreate and enjoy and to keep the economy going that
right.
they have there in that area and all the issues about their watershed and stuff.
I think that's huge in the past under when the KSB and other organizations were trying to get, National Scenic Area, the local governments figured it out and they argued it. They talked about it in public meetings, and they came out in favor of it.
Local governments should be concerned because they have to plan for the future.
Right.
But when you see a proclamation that says you can get your utilities in and out of town,
right.
you can get roads in to be able to alleviate traffic, it has nothing at all to do with how you govern your citizens at all. The Antiquities Act is very clear. It only pertains to forest lands, not private lands at all.
Right.
And so any authority that the Forest Service has today over their forest lands, they can continue. It doesn't put another layer of authority on private property at all.
Right.
And again, that's across the entire spectrum.
When I was a reporter for the Verde Independent years ago, the then chairman of the Yavapai Apache tribe took me to was his traditional burial lands. It was on private land,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he could, I mean, this is, he couldn't do anything about. Now, the people who owned the property were very respectful and all of that, but it was still private property and they weren't going near it. Now, they have other, because they have other burial areas that they do own, but this particular one, and I'll say it was the first place he took me, and I have not kept up with it, what's happened over the years, but the idea is that even at that point, in the private property rights of the owner superseded everything.
By the way, the one important right, and of all people, I should have said this right away, water rights are grandfathered. So people with private wells, commercial operations like Arizona Water Company, those wells, if they're on forest land, are guaranteed.
And that's it. That's why I wanted to do this morning. I wanted to drill down into even though, you know, we are mentioning it in general, I want to be really specific.
Well, if people have, you know,
grazing rights, jeep tours, hiking groups, campgrounds, parking lots, retail stores, all of this happens.
Yeah, exactly. If you have a retail store on forest property up in the canyon.
Exactly.
There's going to be no change for you.
There you go.
The only change is that we preserve this land. We have an opportunity to bring more money in, and we have a better management process in place, and we identify those characteristics of this area that are unique to the nation and in some cases the world, and be able to preserve those areas also.
And I think there's no argument there. I mean, I think the Sedona area has in many unique areas, certainly to this area, certainly to the world. And the local governments recognize that. So governments as far away as Jerome, governments even as far away as Phoenix, although I know that they didn't deal with it, are impacted by the decisions made in the Sedona area.
Right. And I like to use the analogy that if I own a company and I have one assembly line.
Yeah.
And that assembly line is turning out one of the best products available. And everything that goes out gets sold, and I make a ton of money on it. But I choose not to maintain that assembly line. I watch it deteriorate over time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go out of business. And that assembly line is going to cost a fortune to get put back into place, or my product is just not going to be sold anymore. This area, there's only one of it. And if we lose it, and we're not going to lose it tomorrow.
No.
I don't want to panic people and all this other stuff. This is about future generations. And we either make that choice now or we make it later and later on it'll have deteriorated even more.
Right.
And one of the things that comes out, it's going to bring more people in. There is nothing going. People aren't going to come here just because it's a national monument. They're coming here because of its beauty, because of its known attributes.
Right.
And there's hotels here that do marketing. There's the businesses in town that do marketing, which they are entitled to do. But all that marketing that goes on brings more and more people into the area. We just have to find a way to balance that process so that when they do come into the area, our quality of life is not impacted to as high a level as it's going to be. And the visitor has an enjoyable experience. And the third thing is, and to me, one of the most important, is we have preserved one of the real beautiful places in America.
On the earth. Yeah, right now you can do calm and thoughtful planning, and that's what KSB and the other organizations are trying to do, rather than crisis management, which we've seen plenty of, and trying to get something back. So it isn't Katie bar the door, the evil, the spoilers are going to develop Slide Rock, and they're not going to be putting skyscrapers at Slide Rock anytime soon. But the idea is to take care of it now, to think about it now, and to protect the whole area. And that's the other thing I like about the National Monument and the National Scenic Area, is that it addresses those related areas. So it goes out far enough to where what happens over there is going to impact what happens closer in, and vice versa. I want to talk about recreation, the other big area. We talked about commercial, we're talking about recreation, hiking and biking, commercial Jeep tours, sightseeing and personal vehicles. You can drive your personal vehicle over the most horrible road if you want to do it.
If it's a designated road for vehicles by the Forest Service, which there are plenty out there.
Right.
I live, if this was a really bad idea for me.
Yeah.
You can only get to my house one way, and that's on a Forest Service road.
Uh-huh.
So, and I am not worried at all about ingress and egress into my property. It's
right.
going to be guaranteed.
Right.
You know, I have valuable property. Everybody has valuable property, and
right.
we want to make sure that their values are protected. And that their quality of life and way of life is protected.
And that's the thing. I mean, this is clearly a better way, or at least a clear way, to protect those values, rather than leaving it to chance and the whims of development and trade.
Yeah, there's. I was asked the question the other day. What about solar panels? You know. Well, I don't think anybody wants to see a solar farm out in the middle of the Sedona area. We can put it in a ton of other places, and in fact, there's many better places to put solar farms than in the middle of one of the best, most beautiful places on earth. Wind, now that doesn't pertain to private property.
Right.
If you want to put solar on your property, you go ahead.
Right.
If you want to put a wind turbine on your property, I'm talking about stuff in the middle of a national forest. So those type of things, mining, there would be no mining. Any current mining claims would be honored, but no new mining claims. So there is a lot, those aspects, when you asked about National Scenic Area, those weren't spelled out that those were not going to be allowed in the future.
Right. Continuing down the recreation list, like I said, just to be specific, I want to take my gun and I want to go out as I've done for the last 40 years, and I want to shoot.
Yeah, it worries me because I'm a Second Amendment rights person, but it worries me when somebody wants to shoot within a close distance of my house. But they're allowed to do that.
Gee, Tom, why?
No. I don't know.
Go ahead.
They're allowed to do that. Yes. And there is nothing in the proclamation, and since the Forest Service is going to manage it later on, there's nothing in the potential management plan that would disallow that.
That's all. But the rules of common sense and safety still apply firearms, but there is no restriction.
One of the big ones was people saying, I won't be able to walk my dog in a national monument. Yes, you will.
Yep. And we'd appreciate it if you pick up after him.
It's a national monument to be preserved for its beauty and stuff and used by the local residents and the visitors to the area.
Right, exactly. And that's all I want. The ATV question was another big. There are restrictions now, and there will be restrictions, the same restrictions then. But in other words, there has to be designated roadways for ATVs. And that's it. So what applies now will apply after national monument status. And the same thing, by the way, I drove by, which I never thought I would see, a kayak rental place, in the Verde Valley. And the only reason I never thought I'd see it is the Verde River doesn't have it. I didn't think a lot of water. But apparently they do have a kayak in operation from Clarkdale's new public access at the TAPCO plant to the Toosie Goot Bridge. I understand some people can make it all the way to the Bridgeport Bridge, if for those people that know the Verde area over there. And certainly in the months, hopefully, of increased flow. So those things don't change. There's a new set of businesses, I guess, related to water navigation, kayaking, happening in the Verde Valley, and that will stay, that will remain, and can continue to grow and develop.
All these things are things that are on our website. We were talking a little while ago about rumors and people saying misinformation, not intentionally, but people talk about things because of what they think is something, not what they know. And if you go to our website, redrocknationalmonument.org, that's redrocknationalmonument.org, you will be able to see, where we got our information from.
Right.
We've been researching this for a long time. We've been pulling down prior proclamations, government. We have legal opinions, legal issues, Supreme Court decisions. All this has been looked at fairly thoroughly. And we've talked to the Forest Service a number of times. We've talked to experts in national monuments to make sure that when we say something, we're saying something that's accurate.
Right.
Is it 100% as far as a period here?
Yeah.
But the general gist of it, there's always somebody that's going to interpret something a little bit differently.
Right.
Our interpretation is what you see on our website. And you can then look it up to see if we're right or somebody else is right. But I would ask people to say, okay, where did you find that out?
Right.
And what is the, cite the authority on that.
Right.
Don't say, I just heard it.
Right.
Because if you just heard it, go to the website and get the information.
There you go. It is well-sourced. It is a very informative website. I got a lot of my information from the website. I wanted to take a breath for a minute and talk about that we are Democratic Perspective. And we have the wonderful support of Democrats of the Red Rocks. We have support from Democrats of the Verde Valley. I do want to make an announcement on the Door movie at the Sedona Library every month. It's a good place to gather, good place to perhaps get some accurate information. And it's a free movie. Put on by the local Democrats of the Red Rocks organization. They will be starting up their breakfasts again. It'll probably be another month or two. But you might want to look for those. They get excellent speakers that come from all over on a wide variety of subjects, but certainly they do may lean a little bit toward human rights and the environment. We do want to talk about Anchor Patrick for U.S. Senate. I'm looking at there's a having her Sedona launch Tuesday, June 30th, from 5:30 to 7. If you're interested in attending, there's Ann Kirkpatrick's launch for you. You know, Ann Kirkpatrick is our Democratic representative in the House from this area. She is declared for the Senate. And, you can call, 928-224-8523. 928-224-8523 and see, and find out some more information about, the June 30th, Ann Kirkpatrick for Senate launch. This is on the, this is also on the DOOR, Democrats of the Red Rocks, website. And you can get more information there. All right. One of the things I want to talk about, Tom, and we're talking to Tom O'Halloran, and he's talking about national monument status as a way of preserving, the Sedona area. And, but we want to talk about, we talked about a lot of what is, and we talked about the wonderfully informative website, but we want to talk about the consequences of doing nothing. And I think that's, and certainly if you go to the website, they devote a lot of space and a lot of thought and a lot of source material to what happens if we don't follow this process. Earlier in the show, he described the process of becoming a national monument. It's pretty simple. It's a presidential signature. Now, there's other things, and I know I'm probably offending Tom's research here, but if you, those of you that have been around for a while, you've listened to various organizations attempt the National Scenic Area. Now they are attempting, and I applaud this. I believe it's a simpler process to get a national monument designation, a simpler process, more direct process. But the point is to do something, because the consequences of inaction are major, right, Tom?
They are major. First, before I get into that, on the 16th of July, from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Sedona Library, we will have a public open house on this issue.
July 16th.
July 16th, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Sedona Library. The following week we'll do the same in Cottonwood. I just don't have a location on that yet.
Excellent.
And so we want to be able, this is everybody's opportunity to get their questions answered face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
Now we can have this discussion. And so I'm looking forward to that process. Consequences of inaction. Our lands are at much higher risk because they're protected right now through an administrative process, not through what can be a permanent process going forward.
No.
Our trail system, I just got done and others at KSB within the last year, and we're still working on it with the Forest Service. We did a 58-page comment to the Forest Service on the their new Forest Service plan for the entire forest.
Right.
People don't have time to read these things. I'm a little nerdy about those things.
Yeah.
But what really happened is, as you read that plan, you see that over time, because of the lack of funding, because of the lack of some other things, there's a continuing deterioration of our forest. We can't stop the population that's coming our way in Arizona. The impact of that population, if we don't get a management process in place, right, is going to be horrible. And money. Right now, the Forest Service is losing money.
Right.
We have to find a way to get them to gain money so that we can protect those attributes that are out there.
Right. Well, and this process does give a access to more philanthropic money in a way, as you pointed out, in other areas right away. So it became a huge thing. All right, we are going to take off now. Democratic Perspective. This show and all our shows are on VVID.org. VVID.org.
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.